This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. I received a very interesting email that a man wrote to me saying, when I guess he listened to the sermon on Feast of Trumpets early, and I talked about the invasion, you know, the alien invasion. And he asked me a question. He said, what if they know it is Christ? Which, as we'll see in the book of Revelation, they will know. So, let's begin and see why the world will be so deceived, and why they're going to end up fighting against Christ, even though they may know it is Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, and he also asked about the two witnesses and so forth, let's begin by going back to the book of Exodus. And let's talk about Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh for just a minute here. Now, what do we have with Moses and Aaron against Pharaoh? What are they a type of when compared to the end times? The two witnesses, yes. Yes. And even Peter talks about that. How that the leading priests, Jannes and Jambres, withstood Moses and Aaron. Now let's come here to Exodus. Let's begin, first of all, in the 7th chapter. Now Moses started out, and of course Pharaoh didn't believe him. Now let's understand something about Pharaoh. What did people believe concerning the Pharaoh of Egypt? He was God. God manifested in the flesh, is what they would say. And even during World War II, did not the Japanese believe that of their emperor? Yes. Yes. And that's why Douglas MacArthur was so shrewd in not executing him, but making him go around all of Japan and saying that he was not God and saying that he was only a human being and telling them that they could now look at him in the eyes, because before no one could look at the emperor in the eyes. They always had to bow their head down and look away. So that was very shrewd of him doing that rather than executing him, though I think the tribunal that tried all the war criminals in Japan after the war thought that they should eliminate the emperor. So this is how people viewed Pharaoh. Now when you read here beginning in Exodus 7 and verse 1, this will tell you why God said this to Moses. Verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. Now we'll see a little later on, what do we have with the beast and the false prophet? A counterfeit of that, correct? So as we begin this Feast of Trumpets, let's see what happened to Pharaoh. And then we will understand that even though the world and the world leaders might know that the one returning is Christ, they're still going to fight them. Now, verse 2, and you shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Now, this is exactly what God is going to do to the world. Precisely. Now, you can read all the rest of the way through, all the plagues, all the things that took place. And we start out here. Let's come over to verse 11 of Exodus 7. Because right at first, all the false religious figures who used the powers of Satan were able to duplicate the beginning of the plagues and signs that God gave. So the first one was that Aaron's rod would become a serpent. Now, verse 11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now, the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. And they cast down every man his rod, and the rod was a symbol of authority. I guess the last one you could think of doing that was General Patton, World War II. He always carried around his rod of authority, you see. Did not MacArthur, too, didn't he have something? I guess maybe MacArthur didn't, but at least he had his corncob pipe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe MacArthur did, too. So they cast down their rods, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto him, as the Lord had said. Now let's jump forward to the end time, because we know the Feast of Trumpets pictures the end time. And as we will see in the book of Revelation a little later, all of the events that are going to happen leading up to the actual return of Jesus Christ. But before that happens, what we're going to do is we're going to take an overview of all of the events that are going to lead up to it. So let's come here to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now we know, if you read Matthew 24, we know you read Mark 13, Luke 21, and so forth, that you see wars, rumors of wars, false prophets, false Christs, and all of that sort of thing will be coming along. But why will the world be willing to fight Christ? And we will be able to see clearly, and I think they will label it as an invasion from outer space, but why will they not repent? Here's why. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, but because in spite of all that's happening right now, there's going to come a time where it will look like human beings will finally be able to bring about some kind of world peace. That even in Muslim nations for a short time will acquiesce to this. And everyone will think, oh, hooray, this is great, this is great. We finally have a world government that everyone is going to agree with. We'll see that in just a little bit. But here is what has to happen. Let's pick it up here in verse 2. We covered a little bit of this last time about false epistles coming around, so I'm not going to elaborate on that. Verse 2. That you be not quickly shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by epistle, as if from us, saying that the day of Christ is present. Because there is coming a false Christ first, and a false prophet first, before the two prophets of God come on the scene. Verse 2, do not let anyone deceive you by any means, which tells us there are going to be many means. Because a lot of things that look good to human beings, that seem right to human beings, and actually for a while will really work, and even though a lot of people agree with it, generally end up being totally wrong. So we have to keep all of that in mind. because that day will not come unless the apostasy shall come first. Now, there have been many interpretations of the apostasy come first. Some have said that it's a falling away from the church. That is true. That is an apostasy. Falling away of beliefs. That is true. This apostasy is a total falling away from everything that is of the true God to follow the man that is described here. And there is a reason why people will believe it, because there will be an absolute dividing line at that time. There will be those who know God and have the Spirit of God, and then you have all of those who really didn't take it as serious as they ought to, and now they've got to catch up. You have all of those who have taken God seriously all along, and how many ever of those will be taken to a place of safety will be taken to a place of safety, but please understand it's just a few. But here's what's going to happen. This apostasy is going to be a worldwide rebellion against God. Total. Just as it was at the Tower of Babel. And something that is not understandable until we come to the last time in which we're living, when we can see that these things are possible. And this is why God warned Daniel that only at the end will these things be understood. Because without being able to look out on the world scene at any time in history up to our time now, and to see all the technological advances and things that we have now, they could not comprehend how these things could be. So it's all going to culminate, just like the return of Christ is going to culminate in one man, Christ, and the saints. So likewise, the world's system is going to culminate in one man and a false prophet and all of those who are going to fight against Christ. So this really becomes a drama par excellence that no movie has ever been able to portray. And the man of sin, very interesting, the man of sin shall be revealed. Now, how is he going to be revealed? We'll see it in Revelation 13 in just a minute. Now, let me just preface here. If you do not have our series on Daniel and Revelation, you write for it. 38 tapes. We don't have them yet on CD, so don't ask for them. We have most of them online, so if you can draw them down online. And if you want them MP3, drawing them down online, please note there's a place to click on MP3 download. Otherwise, you get MPU, which is computer playable only. And I know I've had some people call and say, well, I downloaded it, it wouldn't go on my iPod. So my answer is, if you want to download it for your iPod and MP3, please click on the MP3 downloadable, and you'll get it. Okay, let's continue. Short commercial break. Now notice what this man is going to do. The one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. That's everything in the world, everywhere, every God, every religion. So there is a great religious revolution coming, a great governmental revolution coming with a one-world government. Now notice what this man does. And what we need to understand is this. This is going to be the civil leader, not the Pope. The Seventh-day Adventists have it wrong. They always say this is the Pope. Because, as you find in the book of Exodus, and as you find in all the ancient societies, the king or the emperor was God. And the priests were the one who said, yes, he is God. So as we'll see in a little bit, you have the beast, which this describes, who is the civil ruler, being declared as God and saying he is God, and the false prophet verifying that he is God. So you've got the same old system that Satan has always used, now resurrected and magnified on a worldwide scene. So as we're reading some of these things, let's keep it in view that this is going to be a worldwide event, which you go back in history and look at all of those who were anticipating the return of Christ at any time during the past history, and you can see that the events and the times and things were not ready for it. That's why they've all failed. And they all failed because they were looking to a set time rather than accomplished events. Because we know no man knows the hour or time, but we can understand the sequence of things by events. So here's the event. This man who will be revealed, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is an object of worship, so that he comes into the temple of God and sits down as God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Do you not remember, Paul says, that when I was still with you, I told you these things. And now you understand what is holding him back, that is from this one to come on the scene, in order for him to be revealed in his set time. And we'll see how he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working. Only there is one who is restraining at the present time until it arises out of the midst. And that's out of the midst of the system, as we'll see here in a little bit. Then the lawless one will be revealed. So it tells us three times he's going to be revealed. Whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, what chapter in the Bible fulfills this? Revelation 19, correct? Yes. Now, verse 9. Even the one whose coming is according to the inner workings of Satan. Now, let's understand there have been many who have had the inner workings of Satan with them. But this is going to be a particular man with particular power, greater than any of the other ones that have been in the past. With all power and signs and lying wonders. Now just put in your margin there or in your notes Matthew 24, that there shall arise false Christ and false prophets shall give great signs and wonders, even so much that the very elect could be deceived. So this is going to be powerful. And of course, you know, the saying is, seeing is believing, but don't do that anymore. We just read a report, Jim gave it to me, where now they can do this. They can take about a 5-minute bite of your speech pattern, and they can create any speech they want to make it appear that you're saying anything they want you to say. So now, hearing, unless you see the person, you may want to have a lot of skepticism. Seeing on television, unless you know that it is authenticated, don't believe it. Because they had, what they did, they ran an experiment showing a picture of Colin Powell, whom everyone represents, ex-Secretary of State and ex-General, saying that to the American people that now it's necessary for a military coup to take over the government of the United States. And it was completely faked out by taking portions of his voice pattern and putting it together and make any words, they can do it digitally and computerized to make anyone say anything they want them to say, viewed on television. Amazing, isn't it, huh? Lying wonders. We'll see what some of those will be. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and those who are perishing, they're destined all to perish at the end physically, their first life. Because here's the reason. They did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. So this is the key for us. How do you stay zealous and how do you stay on top of things? Always love God, love Christ, love the truth. That's the guide right there. Now here's what happens if you don't. And this is what happens when people get lukewarm or get turned off for some reason. And just remember this. If you get turned off from God because of the carnality of any man, you have just been victimized by Satan the devil. Know this. All men are subject to faults and flaws and problems and difficulties. So never base your faith on God in any man. Now, we are to have teachers who will teach the truth. We are to have those who are to be honest and filled with the Spirit of God. That is true. But that will be manifest by their lives and by their actions in spite of their mistakes. Now, let's go on. Because if you don't, here's what happens. For this cause, in other words, there comes a time where people cause God to do things to them. Just like what happened to Pharaoh. God says, I'm going to harden his heart. First time people read that and say, well, why would God harden his heart? Because he never believed in the first place. For this cause, God shall send a powerful deception upon them that will cause them to believe the lie. And this is going to be phenomenal for a short time for the whole world. Imagine the euphoria when the whole world is united behind this man. And they all believe the same thing. Going to be something. So that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, because God is going to send, he's already pre-sent his truth in preaching and writing and articles and the whole history of everything concerning the Word of God. That's already been there. But he's going to send the truth in the persons of two witnesses. They won't want to believe them right at first. But it will be just like with Moses and Aaron, because of the plagues that they will call down, it will be increasingly more difficult for them to disbelieve them. Did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in unrighteousness, and that's the best description of this world's system today. So then he says, now we're duty-bound to give thanks to God always concerning you, brethren, because you are beloved by the Lord, who are beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning has called you unto salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, let's see. After this man comes on the scene, is given the reins of world government, let's see what happens. Come to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Now this talks about Satan, his fall. And then right in verse 7, all of a sudden, it interjects the last episode beginning of the last episode and the last power move by Satan the devil. Because Satan is so deluded, he still thinks he can defeat God. He still thinks he can take over God. So let's read it here, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Now, I remember back in 1979-80, I wrote an article, Space Wars and Prophecy, and when the space shuttle blew up, I thought I would have time to redo it, but I never got around to redoing it, and I don't know if I will be able to do so. I said, what if there's a great space station up there? And this is where the war starts. You know, what do we have up there now? They're building a great space station, see? And, of course, you can envision that if you've seen anything with Star Wars. How big can they make it? Well, almost as big as they want. All right, there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels warred against the dragon, and my question was this, which we'll get to in Revelation 13 in just a minute. What if the man who becomes the man of sin, the son of perdition, known as the beast power here in Revelation 13, actually gets into a spacecraft and goes up to the space station and declares war against God? Just a thought. But notice what happened. Michael and his angels warred against the dragon and his angels warred. So here we have a fight between Satan and his angels and God and his angels. But notice, verse 8, just like Pharaoh and everything they did weren't able to prevail, but they did not prevail, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving the whole world. And he will have the whole world deceived at that time. And that verifies what we read in 2 Thessalonians. And he was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with them, with him rather. Now this is going to be ignominious. This is going to be quite a thing to do, to happen, see. And I want to ask a question here. When he is, I don't know exactly when he is cast down, but we do know this, it's going to be, he's going to be cast down a little before a 3.5-year period. So this does not tell us how long he's going to be in power before then. Except that, if we understand Daniel 9 correctly, there is going to be a covenant made called for 1 week, which then would be 7 years. So maybe he's going to be in power for a considerable length of time, say 3 years or better, before this event happens. And we'll look at that when we get to chapter 13 here in just a minute. So some of this we have to put in the realm of questions because we can't pinpoint it exactly. But nevertheless, verse 10 says, and I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now has come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, because the accuser of our brethren has been cast down, who accuses them day and night before our God. But they overcame him through the blood of the Lamb, through the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and those who dwell therein. So who are in heaven? God the Father, Jesus Christ, and all the holy angels at this time. Now let's understand. God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the angels in heaven are aliens to this earth as far as people under the sway of Satan the devil are concerned. Wouldn't you say so? Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and those who dwell in them. Woe to those who inhabit the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has only a short time. Now, mark that short time, because we will get a definition of short time. This occurs, the next event to occur, follows this, which helps us define a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman, now that's the church, who brought forth the man-child, who is Christ. See, because it starts out with a prophecy of the bride of Christ, blends into Mary, who brought forth Jesus, blends back into the church. Now, verse 14. Key verse. And two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman so that she might fly into her place in the wilderness. Now, this doesn't tell us where. There are many wildernesses in the world. And we've always thought for years and years that it might be Petra. But always remember this, which I've said over and over again, but I'll repeat. If you know where a place of safety is, and you don't get there, the knowledge doesn't do you any good. But if you're faithful to God, and you don't know where it is, and you end up there, when you arrive, you will know where it is. Now, here's the key. Where she is nourished, taken care of by God. Now, let's just ask another question. How did God nourish the children of Israel in the wilderness? Manna and water out of the rock. So you don't have to worry about taking a whole big pack of beef jerky with you if you go. Okay? Okay. That means physically and spiritually, if they are physical people, which they are, they're going to have something to eat and to drink. For a time, that's 1 year. Times, that's 2 years. Half a time, that's a half a year. Or, as it says in the book of Daniel, dividing of time. So we have 3.5 years in the wilderness. Now then, Satan knows he only has a short time. So from the beginning of the short time until the end of the 3.5 years, what period of time do you have which adds on to the 3.5 years? Whatever the length of time of the persecution is. Because he saw that he had a short time, and the dragon, when he was cast down, he persecuted the woman who brought forth the man-child. Now, how long will the persecution be? Doesn't tell us. So, from that time, we have 3.5 years plus. How long will the persecution be? It won't take long to bring worldwide persecution, will it? I mean, everybody, all the government officials everywhere, they're going to know everybody everywhere, right? And if you don't have the mark of the beast, they're going to know who you are exactly. So it won't take long. So we'll say, what, 30 days, 60 days? Don't know. We'll go on from there. So, after God intervening to help them, because Satan didn't want them to get to a place of safety, the earth helped them, protected them. Then verse 17, then the dragon was furious with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her seed, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Christ. Now, that's where the martyrdom is going to pick up. Now, let's see if we can add a few other things to this. Chapter 13 follows along, because when you read all of this, you stop and think, how did this come about? What were the events that led up to it? Well, Revelation 13 tells us. So John said, I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea. Now, you have to have a lot of background going back and understanding about Daniel and other things in order to understand what this is. But this is the last beast power on earth. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Now, the sea pictures what? Peoples, languages, nations, and so forth. So this looks like a grassroots movement, but it's not. Having seven heads and ten horns, which is a symbol of Satan, and on his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So they're all taking high, eminent positions. And the one man says he's God. We'll see who he is here in just a minute. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Now, what we're reading in verse 2 is very interesting, because if you go back and read Daniel 7, you'll see that this is an amalgamation of all the great empires of the past together. The best of all of them. And that's what, if you want to know what the UN is trying to do, that's what the UN is trying to do. Get the best of all the civilizations of the world molded into one world government. Hasn't gotten there yet. Boy, aren't we glad. Whew. Like a leopard, his feet like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. He gets it from Satan. Now, just put in there Matthew 4 and Luke 4. What did Satan tell Jesus if he would bow down and worship him as God? He'd give him all the power of all the nations, right? Because it was given to him, yes. So if he receives his power, his throne, and his great authority directly from Satan, obviously there's going to be some resistance. Now, I'll just mention what I have on our Revelation chart, which is this. Since the beast is going to go into the temple of God, that tells us, A, there's a temple to be built. So does Revelation 11, because John was instructed to measure the temple, and that was after the temple in Jerusalem physically had already been destroyed some 30 years before. Not quite 30 years. When he does this, I want you to understand the reaction that the Jews are going to have. Here, after all this time, they finally build a temple, they finally get the sacrifices up and going, they finally get things going, we have this downfall from outer space, we have the persecution beginning, we have this man coming into the temple of God saying he is God, and if the chronology is somewhat accurate, that occurs right around the Passover time. Now, what do you think the Jews are going to do? I think they're going to try and get an assassination team to kill this man. Because when he goes into the temple, that is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, saying he is God. Because you've often wondered, why does he get this deadly wound? Who is after him to do this? See? Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, slain to death, but his deadly wound was healed. And the whole world was amazed and followed the beast. This is going to be astonishing. And this is why they are going to believe Satan and the beast, because after all, here is a man who was wounded to death but was raised back to life, and that could only be from God. That's how it will be presented. So he's got to be God in the flesh. But his deadly wound was healed. The whole world was amazed and followed the beast, and they worshiped the dragon who gave his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him? And we've covered some of those things. So all power on earth is going to be given to him. And here is part of what is reflected in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, that ties this in, the man of sin, the son of perdition. And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue 42 months. Now that is near 3.5 years, not exactly, but near 3.5 years. Whenever it talks about 42 months, that is referring to a reign of evil. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven, accusing God, Jesus Christ, all the angels, and later then it's going to include all the resurrected saints, as we will see. And here's how the, now it says over here in chapter 12, in verse 13, when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who brought forth the man-child. Okay? And it says, down in verse 17, Revelation 12, he went to make war against the remnant of the seed. Now, thought just occurred to me. What about this? The man who sinned, the son of perdition, possessed of Satan the devil, and of course then there will be the demons going up with Satan too, goes up to where we call a spacecraft. Okay, and then there's fighting between the Satans and the Satan's demons and the angels of God. He's cast back down to the earth. Then he goes into the temple of God, saying that he is God to prove his authority. Then the Jews come after him. Attempted assassination, almost kills him. He comes back to life, and he is now possessed of Satan in the most evil, heinous way that has ever been in the history of the world of Satan possession. What does he do? Verse 7. And he was given power to make war against the saints and to overcome them. That's when the martyrdom of saints occurs. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. Never has there been such a thing in the history of the world. That's why it has to only be at the end time. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. The next beast with two horns, it sounds like a lamb but speaks like a dragon, is the great false prophet. And he has great signs and wonders that he does, and calls fire down from heaven. Now, he's got to come on the scene at about the same time the beast comes on the scene. And then he's the one to help enforce the mark of the beast. Let's go to track 2.